राम राम हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. हरिनाम संकीर्तन यज्ञ की जय, अखंड कीर्तन की जय। जय राधे माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधे माधव कुंज बिहारी। Gopi Dhanava Labha Yirivaradhani. Yasoda Nandana Brajidhanarandana Yasoda Nandana Brajidhanarandana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Daya Rana Madhava Kunja Bihari Yasoda nanana bhajadanana Yasoda nanana bhajadanana Yamuna Tira Vanachari 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 Daya Rana Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayam Vishnubhat Paramahamsa Parivrajika Chai Stotra Satasi Srimada Bhai Charananavinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Iskan Samstapaka Chai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Namar Chai Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Granta Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Harinam Sankirtan Yajna Ki Jai Sri Sri Krishna Balaram ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Shama Sundara Lalita Vishaka ki jai, Sri Sri Gaura Nitaya ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 27, entitled Understanding Material Nature, text number 1. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Prakritisto Pipurusho Na Jayate Prakriter Gunai Avikarata Kartritvan Nirgunatvaj Jalarkatvan. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Prakritistope Purusho Natsyate Prakritir Gunai Avinkarata Katritvan Nirgunadvaj Jalarkavad. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Prakritistope Purusho Natsyate Prakritir Gunai Avikarata Kartritvan Nirgunadvaj Jalarkavad. Ladies, cannot be read. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Personality of Godhead said, Prakritishta, residing in the material body. Api, although. Purusha, the living entity. Na, not. Ajati, is affected. Prakritai, of material nature. Gunai, by the modes. Avikarat, from being without change. Akartritvad, by freedom from proprietorship. Nirgunadvad, from being unaffected by the qualities of material nature. Jala, on water. Arkavad, like the sun. Translation. The personality of Godhead, Kapila, continued when the living entity is thus unaffected by the modes of material nature, because he is unchanging and doesn't claim proprietorship. He remains apart from the reactions of the modes, although abiding in a material body, just as the sun remains aloof from its reflection on water. Purport. In the previous chapter, Lord Kapiladeva has concluded that simply by beginning the discharge of devotional service, one can attain detachment and transcendental knowledge for understanding the science of God. Here the same principle is confirmed. A person who is detached from the modes of material nature remains just like the sun reflected on water. When the sun is reflected on water, the movement of the water or the coolness or unsteadiness of the water cannot affect the sun. Similarly, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitai, Bhagavatam 1:27. When one engages fully in the activities of devotional service, Bhakti Yoga, he becomes just like the sun reflected on water. Although a devotee appears to be in the material world, actually is in the transcendental world, as the reflection of the sun appears to be on the water, but is many millions of miles away from the water, so one engaged in the bhakti yoga process is nirguna, or unaffected by the qualities of material nature. Avikar means without change. It is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita that each and every living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, and thus his eternal position is to cooperate or to dovetail his energy with the Supreme Lord. That is his unchanging position. As soon as he employs his energy and activities for sense gratification, this change of position is called vikara. Similarly, even in this material body, when he practices devotional service under the direction of the spiritual master, he comes to the position which is without change, because that is his natural duty. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, liberation means reinstatement in one's original position. The original position is one of rendering service to the Lord, bhakti yogena, bhaktya. When one becomes detached from material attraction and engages fully in devotional service, that is changeless. That is changelessness. Akartritvat means not doing anything for sense gratification. When one does something at his own risk, there is a sense of proprietorship and therefore a reaction. But when one does everything for Krishna, there is no proprietorship over the activities. By changelessness and by not claiming the proprietorship of activities, one can immediately situate himself in a transcendental position in which one is not touched by the modes of material nature, just as the reflection of the sun is unaffected by the water. Om Ajnana Timrandasya Jnanana Salakya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Si Gurave Namaha Si Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Si Guru Si Uta Padakamalam Si Gurun Vaisnavamscha Si Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sivita Kanvitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kansana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Visabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpadrubhyacha Sakripa Sindhubhyevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaisnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasani Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare In the previous chapter, Lord Kapiladev has explained how the material nature, and in particular, how the material creation in every aspect relates to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There, it was described that once the pradhana, or the potential of all material creation, becomes activated by the glands of the Supreme Lord, that then the Mahatattva becomes manifest, and gradually within the Mahatattva, all the sensual functions begin to manifest. And as these sensual functions manifest from the universal form, simultaneously the living entities start to get the facilities for various forms of sense perception. When the eyes of the universal form manifested, then the ability to see for all living beings was also manifested. So those chapters or those descriptions in the Bhagavatam are meant for the living beings who are covered over by the material energy. Naham pakasa sarvasya yoga maya samavritaha. Avritta means to be covered. So the living beings are covered by the illusory energy of the Supreme Lord and thus forgetful of their eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord. So in the previous chapter, a process has been offered by Lord Kapiladev of gradually developing awareness in how everything is related to the Supreme Lord and how actually behind this impersonal material energy is the personality, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead from whom everything is emanating. And the previous chapter was showing how everything is emanating from the Supreme Lord. So, in this way, it is gradually elevating the conditioned souls out of their state of ignorance and out of their state of forgetfulness, who actually is the origin of everything, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is almost an ascending process, a process of gradually, step by step, going upwards, first meditating on the universal form, which is only a temporary manifestation of the Lord within this material world, and then gradually beginning to realize the eternal nature and the eternal manifestation of the Supreme Lord, or manifestations of the Supreme Lord, until one can eventually understand Govindam Adipurusham, the Adipurush, the original Purusha, the original Supreme Controller, the original Supreme Enjoyer, Lord Sri Krishna. So, in this chapter, now the 27th chapter, we are beginning to discuss a living being who is on the transcendental plane, who is unaffected by the modes of material nature, who is completely transcendental, who is not by any means identifying with the material body. It is stated here that although he remains apart from the reactions of the modes, although abiding in a material body, just as the sun remains aloof from its reflection on water. Just as the sun, the symptoms of the sun may manifest in the reflection on water. Clearly there is light in the reflection of water, so much glitter, sometimes so much one has to close the eyes for the glare of the sun. Yet the sun itself is not involved. The sun itself is an entity in itself. The energy of the sun is there, the light of the sun is there, irregardless whether there is a reflection in water or not. It is not at all related to the intrinsic nature of the sun itself. In the same way, it is said, Aham Krishnasya Jagata, that the living being within the material body is present as the spirit soul, and that just like the sun, Krishna Krishnasya Imam Ravi, Ravi means the sun, right? So just as the sun is pervading the entire universe with light, in the same way, the soul is pervading the entire body with consciousness. Thus, the consciousness is now reflected within the material body. And thus, now the living being is perceiving reality through the material body. But in fact, the relationship with the material body is only temporary and is not at all part of his eternal nature. Thus, the thinking, feeling and willing, which we are now experiencing through the material mind, which is part of the material body, is simply a temporary experience. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that when the spirit soul is entering into the material body, then that spirit soul is entering into a dormant state. And it is said that then the mind is borrowing the functions of the soul, just as an ordinary bird may borrow the feathers of a peacock and dance around with these feathers, but he's still an ordinary bird. In the same way, the mind borrows the functions of thinking, feeling and willing from the soul. Originally, thinking, feeling and willing takes place on the platform of the soul. But in the embodied state, the soul enters into this dormant state of consciousness, and the functions of thinking, feeling and willing are now taking place through the mind. And thus, we are becoming limited. The living entity becomes very limited in his perceptions. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also says that the Supreme Lord is the fountainhead of all knowledge. And when one is looking elsewhere to knowledge, then to this particular fountainhead, then not only will one find himself poorly supplied, but also the capacity to retain knowledge will become diminished. So this is what happened. We became poorly supplied in knowledge, and also our ability to maintain knowledge was also diminished. So here we are in a reduced state. Thus the conditioned soul finds himself in a reduced state, in a state of diminished capacity. And here we are. And in this state of diminished capacity, we are still trying to fulfill the fundamental need of the soul, which is expressed in the aphorism Anandamai Bhyasat, that the living being is eternally pleasure-seeking. And thus we are seeking pleasure with still the same intensity, but now directed towards the insignificant material energy. And thus, with great eagerness and great hope, we are trying to enjoy the material energy, hoping that there we will find fulfillment. But there's no question, no question. And how tiny and how insignificant. And gradually in our ignorance, our conception of the absolute truth is becoming smaller day by day, until we are convinced that there is only this life. And Srila Prabhupada said, how can one possibly think that in one small life one can fulfill everything? How can one find fulfillment in one little life? And yet, people are desperately trying, thinking, this is all I have, this one little life, and with this one little life, I will squeeze out all the juice that I can. How different is the transcendental personality, who knows very well that happiness is not found in the relationship with the temporary material nature. Who knows very well that the relation with the temporary material nature is one that can bring him mainly suffering. We find that the deity of Ganga Devi is depicted as a female form entering into the material world, and her vehicle, her carrier, is a crocodile. So Ganga Devi is riding on a crocodile, which is very interesting, because a crocodile is a highly treacherous creature. There is no such thing as ever taming a crocodile. There's no such thing. Maybe a dog can be tamed, but not a crocodile. Maybe a tiger can be tamed, maybe, but not a crocodile. There is no question. The crocodile remains very treacherous. So the material energy is depicted by the crocodile. Maya riding on the crocodile means that the transcendental personality in the form of the river Ganga, coming from the causal ocean, enters into the material world. And Maya is riding on this material energy, which is represented by the form of a crocodile. So we're dealing with the material energy, a crocodile. That is the situation. Thus one can never place his faith in the material energy. No question. No question. Just when we think everything is going really well, everything is absolutely taking nice shape, my plans are developing, and everything goes exactly the way I want it, and I know I'm going to be a success, wonderful. Then bang, suddenly the material energy turns around and has teeth. Because that's the nature of a crocodile. There is a dead tree lying in the water, and it just is not moving, just a piece of wood is lying there. And suddenly this piece of wood turns around with big teeth, right? Unexpected, and goes for part of your body. So this is the nature of the material energy. Everything looks like tame and going nicely until it suddenly shows its other feature, the teeth. And then there we are, not the teeth. And we suffer in the material world. And it can happen any moment, to anyone, any place, any time. Anything can happen. The material energy can show its teeth any moment. This is the nature of material life. So, a transcendental personality has no faith in the material energy, has absolutely no belief that the material happiness, that the material energy can offer us happiness. Of course, the material energy is coming forth out of the Supreme Lord. Janmadiyasya atunvayat itaritas chatesvabhikyasarat tene brahmaridaya adhikavye muyantiyat suryaha. Everything has its origin in the Supreme Lord. And the Supreme Lord is all-pervading. And yet, the Supreme Lord is also independent from this material energy. And this material energy of the Lord, it is said, Muyanti Yat Suryaha, is even bewildering the demigods like Lord Brahma. So the power of the material energy to bewilder the mind of the living being, or to cover the consciousness of the living being, is very powerful. Thus, somehow or other, the material energy may even look enjoyable to a transcendentalist. It may even appear enjoyable to a transcendentalist because it gets its potency of the Supreme Lord. It is the reflection of the unlimited spiritual opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is manifested in the spiritual sky. The principle of pratibimba, or reflection, that the spiritual energy is reflected here in the material world. As we find described in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, a banyan tree, which is upside down, urdhamulam adasaka, that the roots upwards and the branches downwards. Where does one find such a tree? As a reflection in the water. So in this way, the original spiritual opulence, the unlimited opulence of the spiritual sky, is reflected here in the material world. No wonder that the material energy is so powerful. No wonder that Maya is so powerful, since she gets her power directly from the Supreme Lord. It may be a reflection, but even the reflection of the unlimited energy of the Supreme Lord is so powerful, is so attractive. And thus, the living being can become attracted to the material energy. And thus, become conditioned by that material energy as soon as one develops some faith that happiness can be attained in this material energy. Thus, a Vaishnava on the transcendental plane, first of all, has no faith. No faith in the material energy. No faith that any happiness can be attained in the material energy. Zero faith in the material energy. And that is our platform. That we just do not believe that anywhere in the material world one can actually obtain happiness. Fulfillment. It cannot be done. It is not possible. Thus, there is no question of endeavoring for the same. But because we are gradually coming out of a conditioned state, because we are gradually coming out of a thick fog in our consciousness, because we are gradually coming out of unlimited entanglement, because we are gradually coming out of entanglement in so many relationships with the material energy, like endless strings coming out of our heart, attached, our attachments, millions of attachments, strings to material objects. Thus, we cannot immediately fully realize the transcendental platform. It is not possible. Even if we philosophically understand, yes, philosophically, yes, we have no faith in the material energy. But deep down in our heart, due to material attachments, still some hankering for material happiness is there. Even while we fully grasp philosophically that it's not possible to be happy in the material world. Still, another part of us is desiring it. Is desiring such happiness in the material world. And it is very deeply rooted. Very deeply rooted. And such desires may plague us for many years in our spiritual life. And they burden us. They are like the rats that are eating at the roots, at the roots of our spiritual life. Our spiritual life is based on roots of faith. Faith in Srila Prabhupada, in his words, in his example. Faith in the books that he presented, the authorized scriptures. Faith in his translations. Faith in the purport. Faith in the holy name. And we take shelter. But meanwhile, although the roots of our faith have grown, the rats of our material attachments are eating at the roots. Still eating at the roots all along. How can we free ourselves from these rats? That is the question. How can we overcome this always present lower nature, which produces always again and again sinful thoughts in our mind? Always again and again pulls us for a moment into considering, shall I? No, better not. I should. No, I should not. I should not try to enjoy this material energy. But it again and again, the senses and the mind are captured. Again and again, trapped. And as soon as we think, well, maybe this enjoyment is all right, immediately we get entangled. So, how can we just become free from such material desire? Anartapasamam saksad bhakti yogam adoksha jay. We have to have the patience to tolerate our material desires until the heart is purified from anartas, which are stored there from so many lifetimes, from the impurities, the stumbling blocks, the remaining sinful reactions from so many lifetimes that are still stored there and cause a sinful inclination. Aparapta phalam papam kutam bijan phalam mukam. And thus, we must undergo the process of purification. So, while being philosophically strong and keeping ourselves philosophically in the fire by regularly staying in contact with transcendental knowledge, by always hearing again and again this transcendental knowledge daily, then, and by engaging in devotional service, and by throughout the day trying to activate and upon it, and by trying to ignore the other side in ourselves, the lower nature that pushes for sense enjoyment, we can gradually become purified in the process of devotional service. And thus, in our current state, our main objective is purification. We are looking for more and more purification, somehow or other. If there are opportunities for purification. Thus, we must become awake and alert. As I stated earlier, as we are turning to other sources for knowledge than the Supreme Lord, then gradually we become poorly supplied. And the result is our knowledge diminishes day by day and we become dull. One verse which is found in a discussion with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said that for a long time I have preoccupied myself with logic. And I've tried to understand reality through logic. And the result is that my consciousness has become dull. Tarka shastra jada ami yaicha loha pinda. That my consciousness has become as dull as an iron bar. So I like that because we are surrounded nowadays in this world with people who are trying to sharpen their intelligence. And one of the things that is a big craze right now is Sudoku puzzles, right? Everywhere people are playing with these Sudoku puzzles. You see on a play, numbers, crunching numbers to sharpen the brain. It is like that, Sudoku. But no Sudoku in the world is actually going to sharpen the intelligence. Rather, as Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya explained, that kind of activity makes the brain dull. And the more one begins to rely on one's mundane logic capacity, the more he becomes dull. Srila Baladeva Vijayabhusan, in his commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, comments on the Sutra Shastra Yunitvat, which is Vedanta Sutra, which says that ultimately through the Shastra only can one know. And thus Srila Baladeva Vijayabhusan says, there is room for logic, but logic should only be applied to try and understand or to resolve contradictions in the scripture. Like that. It's in any other form of logic, not of any use. It makes the brain dull. One becomes more and more dull. It creates more false ego. It creates more misconception. And it creates, therefore, pride that, yes, I know. And the result is that the person becomes blocked from understanding the Supreme Lord. Thus, we submit ourselves to Srimad Bhagavatam and to try and understand reality to Srimad Bhagavatam. Some years ago, my spiritual master, His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami, gave a seminar which was called The Hopes and Horrors of Household Life. Okay? And that was a very successful seminar because it was already causing huge reactions and huge discussions even before he had started. Right? Even before he had started, people were saying, who does he think he is, the hopes and horrors of household life? He was never married. What does he know about these things anyway? Huh? So why doesn't he speak about the hopes and horrors of sannyas? People were commenting like that. So there was, when it was then the premiere, the first session of the seminar, there was a good crowd. There was a good crowd. And when, I was late, somehow or other, due to circumstance, I missed the first session. I came in and I just saw the people as they were coming out in the corridor. And I heard someone who had also missed it. I heard him asking, how was it? How was it? And the answer came, oh, it was very theoretical. All quotes from the scriptures. And that, I thought, was a very interesting and revealing comment. Because when the scriptures are theoretical, when quotes of the scriptures are theoretical, then I'm wondering, what are we doing? Then what are we doing with our life? This very Srimad Bhagavatam is completely practical. There is nothing theoretical about it. Every word of it is meant to be implemented. Every word of it is meant to be lived. Every single word of it is meant to be realized. That is vigyan, realized knowledge. That means practiced and implemented in life. And thus, by hanging on to Srimad Bhagavatam, we gradually and implementing this knowledge into our life and trying to understand it and seeing it and reminding ourselves of it, we can gradually realize the absolute truth and become firmly fixed in intelligence. And then we can apply ourselves to the process of purification until we eventually rise above the modes of material nature by which we can become liberated souls who always live in their relationship with Krishna in his eternal pastimes, in his eternal nature, who everywhere see only Krishna. Stavara jangama dekina dekitari mutti. Sarvadra haya istadevi spurti. Whether moving or non-moving beings, they don't see like that. Wherever they look, they only see Krishna behind everything. And ihayasya haridasya karmana manasakara nikidiswapya vastasu jivan mukta sauchite. Such living beings, although such persons, by their service to Krishna, although living in this body, are already liberated, they live in their relationship with Krishna all day long. Just live in the relationship with Krishna. That is Uttama Adhikari, Uttama, who is beyond the three modes of material nature. That is the devotee who is liberated. And that is the stage where one is actually Krishna conscious. Just as it is Srada Ratir Bhaktir Anukramisyati. When it comes to bhakti, there are different standards applied in defining what is bhakti. Sometimes very liberal standards, where the slightest little seva, yes, that is bhakti. And other times very strict standards, where it said real bhakti means liberation. Then there's real devotional service, to be liberated. And thus it is said in the verse, Srada, Ratir, Bhaktir, Anukramishyati. First there's faith, then Rati, deep emotional attachment to serving Krishna, and then Bhakti. So, in the liberated stage, then we can truly speak, then one can truly say, consider that here is a devotee of Krishna. 100% dedicated to Krishna. So we pray that we may come to this stage in this lifetime. And what if we don't? What if we don't? Then are we doomed? Arjuna is asking the question, what happens if one is not successful in the spiritual? Is everything lost? No, we know neha vikrama nasasti. Nothing lost. It accrues in the eternal bank balance. That's one thing. And additionally, there is the other aspect of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Even if we fall short in being 100% liberated, if we are 100% trying to be liberated, if we're 100% trying to be liberated, then that could just attract the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that end of Srila Prabhupada, end of the Vaishnavas, who will bless us, and all these blessings may just carry us to the spiritual world. So there is hope. There is even hope for the conditioned devotees who are struggling and somehow or other hanging in there by their nails, but who don't let go. Right? So I'm praying that by the blessings of the Vaishnavas, I may at least be such a devotee who will always hang in there until the very last breath this life, right? And who will always try to do the very best. Then, hoping that Lord Chaitanya will do the rest. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions, any comments? Yes. There is a microphone. So, who will bring the mic? Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Maharaj, for a wonderful class. I would like to have a, this is my practical problem, is that, as you said, that as and when you have to constantly go on struggling with Maya, and always you have to see to it that you take a shelter of the Lord, and then it will be protected. But the problem, the practical problem being in the household life, is that you have to go on struggling, and sometime it so happens, you know the process, theoretically everything you know it, that you have to take shelter of the Lord. But sometimes the process, you have the Maya's attack constantly is coming, and sometime or the other, you get tired of fighting it.
I have a solution. Why don't you try the struggles of the sannyas ashram?
Maharaj, we have not yet controlled our senses, so that is, then again it will become a hypocrisy.
Well, anyway, whatever ashram we are in, right? Ashram means shelter, and that means that there is struggle. The struggle continues. So not only the householders are struggling, the brahmacharis are having a hard time too. And the vanaprastas. I went to the first social development conference in ISKCON some years ago in Mayapur. And it was very interesting because they had representatives of each ashram speak. So there were some householders spoke, and they said that, I feel very discouraged because in ISKCON, so often grihasthas are looked upon as if they are second-class citizens. Then a lady spoke about the position of women in ISKCON, and she said, how many more years do I have to chant my rounds in ice-cold corridors? And all kinds of good things. The brahmachari spoke and said that, I'm feeling it's very, very difficult in ISKCON, very, very difficult, because people are constantly saying, give up, give up, the statistics are against you. You have no chance. Get married. Right? Then a vanaprastha came and he said, I have an identity crisis because I don't exist. Right? So, and there was a sannyasi from Sweden who said that he had a house without electricity, which is very renounced in Sweden. Huh? In short, I thought that it was a great social development conference, and it showed that everyone is in the same boat, struggling with that crocodile. And in any moment, it shows its teeth, and it does at times. And still, but for one who is transcendental, who's taking shelter of Krishna, he cannot be affected. He just doesn't become affected by such things in his consciousness. And whether grihastha, whether whatever our ashram may be, wherever in the world we may be, it doesn't matter. In any position, one can take shelter of Krishna. And Krishna only. It is just a matter of giving up all faith in the material energy and putting our full faith in Krishna. So grihasthas can do that. Sannyasis can do it. Anybody can do it. But who is going to do it? That is the question. Srila Prabhupada was a grihastha. He was a congregational member. Just some congregation. And he emerged as the one who did it. He emerged amongst the disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta as the outstanding one. Who will be the outstanding one amongst us? Who will be? Everyone has the chance. Equal opportunity. Who will be the one or the ones? Who or who? That is the question. Any other one? Any other question? Or comment?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much for a wonderful class. Maharaj, you very briefly mentioned the proprietorship of activities right in the beginning of the, while you were reading the purport, the proprietorship of activities.
Proprietorship of activities in the purport. It's a lot of text and I just don't...
It's right to the end, I think.
Right. Oh, here, yeah. What a memory you have. I'm impressed. When one does something at his own risk, there is a sense of proprietorship and therefore a reaction. But when one does everything for Krishna, there is no proprietorship over the activities. You, yes.
Maharaj, no matter how much at least I try, somewhere down the line, the I factor lands up, you know, that I have done this. And so how do we overcome that?
Well, karmani vadikaraste mafalesu kadachana. It is a matter that we cannot enjoy the fruits of our activities. So we naturally have a nature. We do have a nature with individual qualities. And we must engage these individual qualities in the service of Krishna. So we must use our nature. We must use our individuality. So there's nothing wrong with being strong individuals. But we cannot enjoy the fruits of our activities. We must offer the fruits to Krishna. Whatever our nature is, we must develop it. So we see that that the great Mahabhagavats are strong individuals. They have strong individual qualities because they engage their nature in the service of Krishna. They are not just always thinking, let me control my strong egocentric tendencies. No, they're simply offering the results of their activities to Krishna. That's enough. And that's very measurable. That's really something very concrete that one can to offer the results to Krishna. Then, yes, by all means, we must use the personality that Krishna gave us in His service and develop it and grow as people in all directions. Develop our abilities and become more expert, more... Develop our good qualities. Overcome our weaknesses and this way become stronger individuals. It's not enough to do the right thing. It is not only what you do. It also begins to count who we are. So we have to become actually very mature and balanced and deep persons who are sensitive about not offending Vaishnavas, who are sensitive to not cause any anxiety to any living beings, who truly are oceans of kindness and just who deserve the title Your Goodness as Narada Muni. So we must develop our personality, purify it, and develop good qualities, and engage it in the service of Krishna. Now, it has come to the end. There's a lion appearing on the screen, or in this case, a crocodile that opens its mouth wide and roars at us. And guess who that crocodile is? The crocodile of Maya. But Krishna will protect us without a doubt. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Together, Hare